Father in heaven, without you, we cannot do anything. We're dependent upon you. And please bless us as we do research on Egypt. In Jesus' name, amen. We all have filters. And whatever we hear goes through filters in the mind. And we decide, well, we're happy about this object or we don't like it. Now, when it comes to Egypt, what comes to mind when thinking of this ancient land? I've been there so many times, and my research is on the 18th dynasty. So I hope you'll have a pleasant few minutes during this lecture. Let's just walk around. I always have my camera with me. And you know, we discover things over and over. These are two interesting pillars from Thutmose number 1 and his daughter Hatshepsut. Look at these huge columns at the Karnak Temple. Unbelievable how these people built. And Loretta is just looking up. You cannot really get a clear picture with a camera. It's too big. This is Hatshepsut, which was... The image was destroyed by Thutmose III. This is something interesting. You're looking at a few fugitives, exiles, and most of them have got a beard, but the second last one on your from your right has got no beard. This was a eunuch. Champollion, I discovered his name here. He was the man who deciphered hieroglyphics. It took him 22 years. But now we've got dictionaries, and if you want to learn hieroglyphics, it's not quite easy, but it's easy. Wonderful experience to walk back in history and learn the precious lessons. This is the wife of Thutmose I. She's expecting Hatshepsut. Here she is at 3 months. There's another picture too where she's 6 months. This is Akhenaten, who built Akhetaten, Tel El Amarna. Marvelous discoveries have been made here. And of course, we live in a new Egypt. It says, welcome in the history of freedom, New Saqqara, Egypt. By the way, there's only freedom in a relationship with Jesus. There's only freedom in obedience. This is Saqqara, the oldest construction in the world, step pyramid of Saqqara. And of course, Giza with its sphinx and pyramids. What are some of the tools one can use in studying the Bible? Let's look at typology, eschatology, and soteriology. And then merisms as well, and archaeology. Let us ask Jesus himself to explain the meaning of these terms. We go to chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. He says in verse 42, the queen of the south will rise to the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Initially, he was a wonderful, God-fearing man. To listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one, Jesus refers to himself, greater than Solomon is here. So the good things you can learn of Solomon, the type, can be applied to the antitype, Christ. Kings are types of Jesus. This is the temple. Matthew 12:6, I tell you one greater type, referring to himself, than the temple is here. Antitype. The smaller helps us to appreciate the bigger. Who is the type and who is the antitype? Small, big. This is Nineveh. 41, Matthew 12. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this great generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. Jonah type, Christ antitype. He was the greater Jonah type, antitype. Then we look at Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Is this type or soteriology or both? This is the saving grace. Look for it as you read the Bible. He found grace. He didn't earn it. He just found it with God. Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? It's there. Please appropriate it. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. How does Jesus interpret this prophecy? It's always good to relate the Old Testament with the sayings of Jesus. I found this replica or scale model of the Ark in Bonn in Germany. It was quite an experience to walk through it and look at the animals. And the possibility of this being the Ark caused great excitement. Do you see the shape of the ship there? But I've investigated this. It's just a geological phenomenon. And this is, I believe, the place where the Ark eventually landed. There's no trace of it because they used the wood for tables and chairs, etc. Matthew 24:37. As it was in the days of Noah. Now you've got to go back to history. That's type. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. This is eschatology. When you study the destruction of the world in the time of Noah, you get an idea of the greater destruction when Christ comes the second time. This is eschatology. You're looking at the ruins of Sodom. Luke 17. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating too much, I think, and drinking too much. This was an obsession. Buying and selling, planting and building. They had no time for God. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. And you're looking at the destruction of Sodom, called Bab et Dra in modern Arabic. Evidence of destruction by fire. Luke says, it will be just like this on the day of this, on the day the Son of Man is revealed. So Jesus helps us to understand eschatology. What do we call this? This is end time explanations. Type, the smaller destruction, pointing forward to the greater destruction. How should we study the book of Revelation? How do you explain the image of the beast of Revelation 13? You have to go back to another image in the book of Daniel. In the book of Revelation, we read about the seven last plagues. Are they types or antitypes? It's the last. It's eschatology. It's antitype. What happens before and after the outpouring? How many types, examples of plagues do we have in the Old Testament? And once we have this, we can have a better understanding of what's going to happen during the seven last plagues. And this makes the book of Revelation just a big joy to study. And may God grant that I still will have the time to discuss this wonderful book with you. The falling of the ten plagues in the time of Moses are types of the antitypical plagues of revelation. Once you understand the 10 plagues, you will be able to appreciate the 7 last plagues in the book of Revelation. What are antitypes? That's the bigger. Do we find earlier Egyptian plagues in the Bible? Types of the 10 plagues? Egypt? Yeah. Let's investigate Abram's presence in Egypt. A Bedouin boy took me to Serabit al-Kadim, that's in the Sinai Desert. It's a 2-hour walk up the steps. It's fascinating to visit these out-of-the-way places. Now, what is the relationship of Serabit al-Kadim to Abram? What do the hieroglyphics tell us? You read them and a new world opens to you. Here it says, Pharaoh Amenemhat III, the son of Senesrut III, built this temple. Of course, he was part of the builders. There were quite a few of them. Hatshepsut was also here. Who was Senesrut III? Another name for this pharaoh is Sesestros. He was a co-ruler with his son. Make a folder and just save the info. He was also the pharaoh who took Sarah into his harem and on whom the plagues were visited. When you look at the Hebrew chronology and the Egyptian chronology, you discover that this man and Abram were contemporaries. Can we expect co-rulership from the pharaoh of the 10 plagues? And what about end-time rulership? Yes, types explain antitypes. Typology is exciting. What kind of civilization did Abram find in Egypt? Remember, he came from Ur of the Chaldees. He traveled that fertile crescent and he came down to Egypt. Wow. They had a Walmart here. They had everything. It feels like home, he says to Sarah. They could buy whatever they needed. The comforts were here, just like it was in Mesopotamia at Ur in the Chaldees. This is the statue of Ankhesenamun, the wife of Tutankhamun. Sarah's impact on Egypt? This is interesting. How would the Egyptian CNN describe the coming of a prince and his companion from Ur? How would the article read? The editor would have made mention of Abram's sister, as one of the most attractive women ever to visit Egypt. Is this how Abram introduced her as my sister? How sad. I love the Bible. The Bible is an honest biographer. Sarah had a much lighter complexion than the Egyptian woman. By the way, the research I did on Nefertiti says she came from Armenia and she had a light complexion. You know, men like variety. Here comes fair-skinned woman, beautiful woman, to Egypt, and the pharaohs had harems and they collected. Beautiful woman, I'm glad you did not live in those days. Why did Abram lie? Why did he lie? Genesis 12:12-13 says, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister. Well, they were at the same father, different mothers. Say you are my sister. It's half the truth and half a lie. So that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. Och no, Abram, Where's your trust in God? You've made a mess. Why did you do it? By the way, he erected altars all over the Mesopotamia and the Middle East, the left front. But you don't read of altars erected in Egypt. If we neglect our altar of worship in our homes, we may start lying and distrusting God like Abram. Akhenaten, the monotheistic Pharaoh. Your comment about God's Semitic remnant church from Babylonia? Well, they did not do too well. But there's the biggest room in the world is the room, of course, for improvement. Genesis 12, 14 and 15. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, a lighter complex. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, maybe at the border, customs, they praised her to Pharaoh. Maybe they got money for spotting the most beautiful woman in Egypt. They praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He didn't waste time. I visited the ruins of the temple and harem of Pharaoh Senusret III, and the story came back to me. Why do we tell lies? That's a sin. By the way, lies will not be in the New Jerusalem. If you've got a problem with lies, God can give you the victory to overcome. Tell the truth, no matter what the consequences are. Tell the truth. This is Dashur, where the drama occurred. How did Pharaoh reward Abram after releasing his sister? 10 verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake. And Abram acquired sheep. Well, he had many of them. Sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, manservants and maidservants and camels. Can you remember one of the names of one of the maidservants? Hagar. Dilapidated pyramid of Senusret III. What should have happened to Abram for misrepresenting the character of God? He should have been punished. You know, there's an inbuilt punishment for every transgression. Do you think he deserved punishment like plagues for doing this to Sarah? He was doing a very wrong thing. Imagine you doing this to your wife, landing in a harem. How did God treat his repentant son? Abram said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I've broken your heart. I've disappointed you. So where did the plagues fall after Abram confessed? Ruins of the palace of the Pharaoh. Genesis 12, 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. This is interesting. Semitic prisoners of war. Why didn't Senusret III execute Abram? He could have killed him. How did he treat Abram? Will type explain anti-type? Yes. Genesis 12, 18 to 20. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? So that I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Gerar, where Isaac was born. What does the psalmist say about the plagues? By the way, here at Gerar, Abram lied a second time to Abimelech, saying, "This is my sister." Psalms 105, 14 and 15. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." You know, once we've given our lives to God, we may falter and fall, stumble, but when we repent, we continue with that beautiful relationship. Have you fallen? Get up and walk with him again. Serabit Yalkadim, Senesrut III was the fifth and most powerful pharaoh of the 12th dynasty. Eventually, he was deified and worshipped by his subjects. This is important info, because the antitypes must have this as well. Typology, Biblical Goshen, Wali Tumilat. What caused Abram to go to Egypt in the first place? He had no business there. What happened when he lost his grip on God? Sarah ended up in a harem, and the plan of salvation was in jeopardy because Isaac was to be born from Sarah, and eventually Christ came out of this line. What happened when they repent? The plagues fell on the unrepentant. Keep this in mind. They left for Canaan with costly gifts from the Pharaoh. Typology, typology, type, anti-type, the small pointing to the bigger. Are you afraid of disappointing God like Abram did? You know, we are so weak, so sinful. His experience reveals God's grace to those who try, but who falter and fall. It's not so much a shame when you fall, but it's a shame when you lie down. Get up back into God's grace and walk with him. His experience reveals God's grace to those who try but falter and fall. Type brings hope to the antitypical end-time Abrams, like you and me. Grace is not about fairness. When we repent, the plagues fall elsewhere. Our God is so good. Soteriology, salvation, typology, eschatology. You're looking at sheep at Hebron, a very interesting city to visit. What did Jacob do when he faced hunger like his grandfather Abram? He did exactly what Abram did. He went down to Egypt. How did his grandson Moses, the future deliverer, behave himself in Egypt? Exodus 2 verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked at their burdens. They had quite a few burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Lots of sand in Egypt. What is the relationship between the pharaohs of the time of Abram and the time of Moses? The time of Abram, there were two co-rulers, the mightiest of the fifth dynasty. and they were deified. Let's see if we'll find it in the time of Moses. Well, this is the tomb of Amenhotep II, the son of Thutmose III. They were co-rulers for 3 years. Typology. Type meets antitype. Sarcophagus of Moses, Thutmose III. Both Senesrut III and Thutmose III were the most powerful rulers of this different dynasties. Both were worshipped. Typology. Well, this happened at the end of time. Does the Nile remind you of one of the plagues? Did Moses deserve to be punished? Yes. Why? You know the story. He became a murderer. That's serious business. Why did the plagues fall eventually on Pharaoh and not on Moses? And in the series, we're going to look at every plague, 1 to 10. It's a fascinating study. Moses repented. It took him 40 years to repent. Moses repented and Pharaoh hardened his heart. When you repent, the plagues fall elsewhere. The revelation of God's grace in the time of Abram was repeated in the time of Moses. If we repent, the plagues are transferred to our enemies and God's enemies, of course. What about you and me? Let's repent on a daily basis. Abram left Egypt with plenty. Moses and the Israelites, they left Egypt with plenty. Typology, end time, antitype, children of God. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Type, type, antitype. But every woman shall ask of a neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. They took the wealth of that ancient country with them. What happens after the outpouring of the end time plagues? Will there also be wealth poured out upon us? Type says yes, antitype must correspond in a much bigger way. It's so nice when you visit old archaeological sites and you come across new excavations. This is at Laodicea. Which church is represented here? The last one. The lukewarm one, the one who thinks they are so wonderful. Spiritual condition of this church, the worst of the seven. Is there hope for Laodiceans, the last Christian generation on the planet? Liberal, they think they are righteous. Hope for them? I tasted the lukewarm water of Laodicea. How did the spiritual condition of the church state taste? I had to spew this water out. And God says, this is like the water you drink there, the lukewarm water. That's what you taste like in my mouth, spiritually. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Where are you? I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. Are you lukewarm? Am I lukewarm? Is there hope for us? Beautiful Pumakale Laodicea. Detestable, self-righteous, content. They need nothing. What do they deserve? Plagues. What do these types teach? Repentance transfers the plagues, the punishment, somewhere else. Laodicea will repent. Don't give up on yourselves. Don't give up on your brothers and sisters, the rest of the lukewarm church. Don't give up on them. Type and antitype says there will be a revival, a deep spiritual revival. The types of the Old Testament find their antitypical fulfillment in the book of Revelation. Can we expect two similar cruel tyrants in the near future, at the end of time? Yeah. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear, and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Will this beast have a co-ruler like the persecuting pharaohs? Type, antitype, yes. Then I saw another beast. Here are the two end time co-rulers coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. Sennacherib III was worshipped, Thutmose III was worshipped, and here we have a worship again of a mighty ruler at the end of time. Will they also be worshipped like the pharaohs? Yes. 13:4. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? Will the plagues be poured out on the woman, the remnant church? What does type teach us? No, will not. Why not? She will repent like Abram and Moses. Please be part of the end time repented people. He's knocking at your heart's door. Let him come in. 12:11. They overcame him, that's the remnant, Laodicea, by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Is there hope for Laodicea? Hope for me. Hope for you. Thank God. There's always hope for the sinner who realizes his fallen human nature and the marvelous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 15 and 16 tell about the seven last plagues that will fall upon the unrepentant. What will happen next according to typology? The undeserved Abram and Moses left Egypt with an abundance of wealth. Can we expect this after the falling of the seven last plagues? Yes. With what kind of wealth will the redeemed depart from this Egypt of bondage after the falling of the seven last plagues? I love this verse. Revelation 21 verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Once pain is gone, you have wealth of happiness. There will be no more death. This is wealth, immortality, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed. We're going to get the wealth of heaven's precious gifts. after the falling of the plagues, and when we go home to our eternal promised land, the heavenly Canaan. A permanent departure from the bondage of pain to the wealth of eternal happiness. What indescribable wealth! From bondage of immortality and death to the wealth of the tearless immortal life with Jesus. My weak and faltering friend, we know our weaknesses. Will you ever make it to heaven? You know, when I look at myself, I become discouraged and I realize I'll never reach it. But when I look at Jesus, I can't see how I'll be lost, because he covers me with his cloak of righteousness. You don't have to allow Jesus to get you there. You don't have to try and get there on your own. Allow Jesus to get you there. How will Jesus get us into heaven? On Calvary, the plagues that should have fallen on us fell on him. He becomes the perfect Abram, Moses, Israel, and the perfect you. Hosea 11:1 says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Now listen carefully to the type here. Who is this Israel child? Abram and Moses were called out of Egypt. How did they perform? Bad. This is the Herodion of Herod the Great. Someone else also had to flee from this man, Herod the Great, like Abram and Jacob, for survival in Egypt. Who was he? It's the babe of Bethlehem, who grew up to be 10 years of age when he came back to Israel. Jesus spent his first 10 years in the shadows of the pyramids. Matthew 2:13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he had to flee with his parents to Egypt. Was Jesus like Abram and Moses called out of Egypt? I love the parallels. What was his moral status when he, Jesus, left Egypt? Immaculate, victorious on our behalf. Matthew 2:14-15. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. How do we get saved? Faltering, repenting, confessing sinners are being saved when they allow Jesus to cover them with his robe of perfect righteousness. May I invite you to accept heaven's salvation, heaven's salvation outfit, without delay. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Please respond. If you'll take one step to the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him, and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Father in heaven, thank you for being such a gracious, forgiving God. Help us to accept the help you offer us. In Jesus' name, amen.